Well, we're in Genesis chapter number 35. We're in the life of Jacob. We're journeying with Jacob through his life. What I like about journeying with Jacob is I see a lot of things that resemble my life. Last week when we preached through Genesis chapter 34, we learned that sometimes the Christian life means three steps forward and two steps backwards. I mean, Jacob met God at Peniel. And you talk about spiritual victory. You talk about being close to God. You talk about clinging to Christ. All of that was evidenced in Genesis 33. But in Genesis 34, he's making faulty decisions and he's experiencing family disasters. And it seems as though every piece of ground that he gained in Genesis 33 was lost in chapter 34. But Genesis 35 is a great picture of the mercy and the long-suffering and the grace of God at work in Jacob's life and in our lives. In tracing Jacob's life, it has been around 26 years, maybe 28 years, since Jacob visited Bethel the first time. Remember, he left mom and dad. He left to find a wife, number one. Number two, he left because Esau was probably going to take his life. At least that was his fear. He left to go north up to Haran or Paddan Aram. And on the way, he stopped at Bethel. God gave him a dream and a number of promises. And God ministered to him at Bethel. In fact, as far as we can tell, it's the very first time that God spoke to Jacob in his life. Probably around 60 years old when that happened. We're 27, 28 years later in Genesis chapter 35. He spends 20 of those years with Laban. He never consulted God. He never built an altar before God. We don't find him praying to God. We don't find him having God first place in his life. We don't find God in his life for 20 years. He comes to Peniel. He spends some time there. And then for some reason, he ends up at Succoth and Shechem, which we preached on last week, 20 miles short of Bethel. 20 miles short of where he should be. We learned last week that sometimes we're not where we should be. We only go so far in our Christian lives, and God wants us to go farther, and God wants us to completely obey him in our lives, and God wants to sanctify things in our lives and set us more apart unto the Lord. But sometimes we only go to Shechem. Boy, in Shechem, he's in terrible trouble. There's a lot of distress in Shechem now because of some of the decisions that have been made. There's a lot of dirty water that's gone under the bridge. But God doesn't forget Jacob. He says to Jacob at the beginning of chapter number 35, which we read today, arise and go up to Bethel. Or could I say it this way? Arise and come back again. Come back again is the title of my message. Come back again. You remember just a few weeks ago I preached one of these chapters and it said, now arise and return. That was the title of the message. Now we're down some years in Jacob's life and he has returned, but then he's faltered and he's gone away and he's departed again. And now God says in chapter 35, hey Jacob, come back again. I wonder in your life if it's time to come back again. I find hope in Jacob's life. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4 says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Why? Because we can look at Bible examples and see things in their lives that are similar to ours, and we find a gracious and a merciful God that says, come back again, and come back again, and again, and again. Why would God want us back again? Why would God want us back after we've departed from Him again? I find in Genesis chapter 28, if you'll turn back there, this is the passage when Jacob was at Bethel the first time. I find that Jacob had made a vow to God. I want you to follow me as I read verse number 15 down through verse number 21 to get an understanding of Jacob's first arrival at Bethel. The Bible says, in verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Jacob made a vow to God at Bethel. And the vow was that the Lord would be his God. Now after 6 years of wandering, now after 6 years in Shechem, in the world, if we could put it that way, in a place that was filthy, in a place where his daughter was raped, in a place where his son slew a whole bunch of men, in a place where his name got a bad reputation according to the end of chapter number 34. Now God speaks to Jacob. Jacob, come back again. Jacob, go back up to Bethel. This morning, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down point number one, the tragedy of departure. The tragedy of departure. Jacob's time in Shechem had lowered his standards, had lowered his goals, had lowered the expectations of his children. I want to remind you this morning that when we depart from God, when we leave God, it leaves us with scars. That's what happens when we depart from God. Jacob is now getting ready to go back to Bethel, but he's going back to Bethel with a messed up family. He's going back to Bethel with a daughter that's been corrupted and defiled. He's going back to Bethel with two sons that have had revenge in their hearts towards men that have attacked their family. I want you to understand that leaving God leads to moral decay in your life. These things would have never happened had he gone straight to Bethel. But he didn't go straight to Bethel. He went to Shechem first. The tragedy of departure results in wasted time. Jacob's last 26 years consisted of wasted opportunities and great regrets. Because Jacob departed from God. Not only had Jacob failed to go to Bethel, but what was worse, while Jehovah had been his personal God, his household was defiled by idols. I want you to look at verses 8 and 9 of Genesis 35. The Bible says, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. Rebekah's nurse, Rebekah's his mother. This is not Rachel's nurse. This is back Rebekah's nurse. She was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alam Bekuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. No mention is made of Deborah in the sacred narrative from the time Jacob left his father's house, 26, 27 years ago, until the time when he had now returned to Bethel. The departure and the return of Jacob are thus linked together for us by the mention of Deborah, Rebekah's nurse. The same thing is seen again in the verse which follows. And God appeared unto Jacob again. Wait, when was the last time that God appeared unto Jacob, Bethel? 27 years ago. All the years spent with Laban were lost. The Bible's interesting here. All those lived in Succoth and Shechem were wasted. The 20 years he served with his father-in-law were so much wood, hay, and stubble. Time away from God is time that is wasted. It's time that is fruitless. It's time that is worthless. It's time that is hopeless. All of that Jacob experienced. We have another example of that if you would turn over in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 29, the Bible seems to recap part of Israel's history. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 30, the Bible refers to another part of Israel's history leaving out of the mix between those two verses the 40 years that Israel wandered in the wilderness, pointing to wasted years. I want you to see verse number 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to go, were drowned. That was one part of Israel's history. Remember when they left Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea? No faith in the 40 years. The next example we have of their faith is when they marched around Jericho and the walls came down. 40 years left out. Why? Wasted years. Fruitless years. Yeah, time in which they were not used by God. Time in which God is correcting them. Time in which they are hopeless years. Time in which if they could go back and do it over again, they would. Because the Bible speaks of the tragedy of departure. Wasted years. Number two, the tragedy of departure means increased idols. What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying this, when you depart from God, it doesn't stop at one idol in your life. That you just keep this one idol hidden in your life. We have the example of Rachel in the Scriptures. But Genesis 35, 2 through 4 reveals the awful spread of the leprosy of sin. I want you to look at verse number 2 if you would. Genesis chapter number 35. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods, plural, that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. They had forgotten God. Brethren, when we forget God in our lives, there are idols that take up residence. There are things that begin to dominate and affect us internally. And by the way, those internal dominations, those internal controls that take control of us, they affect us outwardly as well. Turn back to Genesis 31, if you will. Genesis chapter 31. Look at verse number 34. Remember when they're leaving Paddan Aram, Laban's house, and Rachel goes what? She goes and takes all of Laban's images. Remember that back in Genesis 31? Look at verse number 34. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture. Oh, they're hidden. Oh, nobody's going to see them. Oh, they're not going to have that big an effect on my family. She hid them. And Laban searched all the tent, remember, but found them not. But they were with her. And they were in her heart. She had to have them. In fact, she had to have them to such an extent that she stole them and hid them. Idols that take up residence. When you study the nation of Israel in Psalm 106, you'll find in verse 21, the narrative goes like this. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. 7 verses later, you will find this. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. 8 verses later, you'll find this narrative of those same people that forgot God their Savior. The Bible says, and they served their idols, which were a snare or a trap unto them. So it is in the life of someone who has departed from the Lord. They have forgotten their God. They have forgotten what God has done for them. That's why, folks, we spend a lot of time in our church rehearsing the works of God. That's why we spend time on Wednesday night starting our prayer service with praises. It's why we have a Thanksgiving service on Wednesday night. Because it is easy to forget our God. Jacob didn't go into anything big in his life over those 20 to 30 years. We don't find him committing immorality with someone. We just find God not in the picture. We just find him living life, eating, drinking, sleeping, working without God. That's all. He forgot God. Well, what set up in his family's life? Idols did. When we forget God, when we are unthankful to God, when we don't recognize that God is the provider of everything that we have, when we don't take time to bow a knee and call out to God in time of need, and we look to other measures to provide our needs or solve our problems, and we leave out God, mark it down, there's going to be an increase in idols in your heart and in your life. You may hide your idol like Rachel, but they will not remain hidden. They will work their way forward in your life till you boast of them. When your energies and your efforts and your treasure and your time wax in one direction towards idols, they will wane in another direction toward God. See, when you forget God, you turn your time, energy, efforts, thoughts, and everything in your life in other directions. Brethren, that's why we have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know why? I need a reminder in my life. I need God front and center in my life. Church helps me to come back to worship. If I've left Him out Saturday or Friday, there's a wake-up call on Sunday. Man, if I'm waning, if I'm being drawn by the idols of this world on Monday and Tuesday, thank God there's a prayer meeting on Wednesday night that recenters my life back on God. That's what's killing us in America. We're shutting down all of our services. Leaving God out. Push Him right out of our lives. It's an evidence that there is great idolatry in our nation. Great idolatry. Our energies, our efforts, our treasure, our time, our thoughts, our money. Everything is going towards everything else but God. It's happening in Jacob's life. Idols today include pleasure. Christians are joining themselves to pleasure in the place of being in church. God help us. It's idolatry is what it is. Let's call it for what it is. It's idolatry. It's putting God down here and putting pleasure up here. God help us. He tolerated these things in His family's life and they grew. Sin and idolatry never remain stagnant. They always grow. Jacob had tolerated the strange gods in his home. I believe it was these idols that caused the actions and the decisions in Genesis chapter 34. Oh my, did you hear about Jacob's daughter? I'd have never guessed it. Did you hear about it? Did you hear what happened to her? Oh my, did you hear about Simeon and Levi, what they did? Did you hear how they lied to those men? Man, I never saw that in Jacob's family. Oh, things I can't talk about. Yep. Strange idols in the home for some time. And you know what? It comes out. It moves to the forefront. Idols are not amoral. It means they have moral impact. Idols turn our attention away from God's principles and standards and commands. Idols pollute and destroy a Christian from the inside out. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, flee from idolatry. Idols never settle for half of you. Could I remind you of that this morning? They want all of you. They attack for more and more of your time. They burrow into your heart for more and more of your affections and emotions in your life. Idols seek to set up a throne in your heart. They want you. And by the way, in Jacob's family, they had them. No different today, folks. Acts chapter 17, verse number 16, talks about the city of Athens. The Bible says, now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city, listen to these words, wholly given to idolatry. How much given? Wholly given to idolatry. Could it be that you have an idol in your life today that's starting to set up shop? Maybe it hasn't gotten all of you yet, but it is seeking for more. It is searching for more. It is appealing for more in your life. Idols today include greed, more and more work and money so you can spend more and more and have more and more. People join themselves to the idol of convenience. Everything has to fit what you like, or you have to have it your way. If it's not just picture perfect and convenient for you, I'm not doing that. America, listen, America is joined to convenience. Click, $7.4 billion on Friday with clicks. Record, new record on online sales on Friday, $7.4 billion. Just, yeah. Convenience. Convenience. I didn't set it up to be this way. But if it rains on Sunday, it's not convenient to go to church. Convenience. Convenience. Joined to convenience. The idol of entertainment. That which thrills my life. I only get thrills in my life when I'm entertained. There's no thrill with God. No time with God that thrills your soul. Only that which entertains you thrills your soul. No anticipation to meet with God daily. That's deader than a doorknob, preacher, in my life. That's boring. I'll give hours to the television. I'll give hours to the video game. I'll give hours to things that entertain me and stimulate me. And I say to you, be careful. You're departing. An idol is setting up. And it's going to grow. And it's going to increase in your life. There's the idol of self, wanting attention and accolades, searching for compliments and appreciation, selling yourself out to accomplishments for the approval of others. Brethren, this idol is big in all of our lives. It is a temptation to all. The idol of self. And so Jacob says to his household, he says, put away the strange gods that are among you. It's revealing that Rachel's gods had gotten beyond Rachel. He's now speaking to all of his family, to his servants, to his handmaids. Hey, I got to talk to all of you. It's time to put away all the gods that have been developing. These words show that Jacob was aware of the corrupt practices in his family, and he had been silent for too long. Gentlemen, may I speak to you this morning. You can't be silent when an idol's developing in your home. You see an idol developing in your children, you can't be silent. It's time to speak up and say, hey, let's put some things away in our lives. The tragedy of departure. Secondly, the trail back to God. This series we've entitled Journeys with Jacob. And Jacob is now on another journey in Genesis 35. From Shechem this time to Bethel. Now the Bible says, arise in verse number 1, go up to Bethel. But wait a second, geographically Bethel is south, not north. Oh, the Bible made a mistake. No, it didn't. The Bible never makes a mistake. The Bible's without error. While it was geographically south, his journey was about 1,000 feet up to go down to Bethel. So if we're traveling and you're traveling out in the mountains in the west, you understand what it means to go up. You climb thousands of feet. Jacob was to take his family up to Bethel. It was going to be a climb. 1,000 feet up over a 20-mile stretch. He was to go up to Bethel. What a beautiful picture of the Bethel in our lives. The trail back to God is always a trail back up. You say, preacher, if God's trying to call me again, God's not trying to lead me to a happy life. He's trying to lead me to a miserable life. No, he's not. No, he's trying to lead you to a place of blessing again. Amen. He's trying to lead you back to Bethel, the house of God. He's trying to lead you back where there's rededication in your life. He called him to go back to Bethel. Notice that the trail back to God begins with a divine call. Jacob in his own flesh was never wise enough to go, you know, Shechem's not working out. I think I ought to go to Bethel. Oh, no. No, Jacob was stuck in Shechem. Jacob's looking and he's saying to himself, he's forgotten God's promises that he's going to keep him in all the places that he should go. He tells his son, my name stinketh in the land and these people are going to come and kill me. That's Jacob in Shechem. But verse number 1 of Genesis 35, God said unto Jacob. God spoke. Jacob didn't find God. Jacob wasn't looking for God. Jacob was under great distress. God found Jacob. You ever been in a place where you weren't looking for God? You're in distress, but God found you. I mean, God spoke to you. I mean, I'm thinking of the disciples on the ship this morning. They're in great distress. Boy, the waves are turning. They got no faith. They don't even think about God. Jesus comes up, rebukes them, and says, "Peace be still." You're in a situation this morning, you haven't even given much thought about God in the situation. The situation is so stressful, you got on your mind all the what ifs of what's going to happen in the situation. And then God said, God found Jacob. Truth of the matter is, I believe he speaks more often than what the Bible reveals that he spoke to Jacob. We just don't always distinguish the voice within us to be the voice of God. We act on our impulses. We act on what looks right. Or more importantly, what feels right. Without listening to God. Here, Jacob, finally, everything else shut down, quiet enough in his life for him to hear God. And God said, verse 30 of Genesis 34, Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "Ye have troubled me to make me distinct among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house." Bethel in itself was not much of a place. It wasn't like he was going on vacation to Bethel. But the presence of God made it an unforgettable place. Amen. And the words of God made Bethel the place of impact in Jacob's life. Bethel was the most memorable place in all the earth for Jacob. Let me hit it home this morning. Do you have any memorable places where God's spoken to you in the past? I mean, do you remember an altar that you made before God? Where God dealt with you in such a specific way. And boy, you can go back and you remember, boy, that was a great day in my life. Boy, when God dealt with me on that front, when God delivered me, when God spoke to me, I can go back to Bethel's in my life and remember, God came on the scene and found me. Do you have any places like that? The truth of the matter is, there may be people here that have never had a place like that. I say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I mean, you maybe have never been saved. You've never heard God talk to you about your own soul and the sin in your life that corrupts you and separates you from God. You've never heard God, the Spirit, knock on your heart's door and say, "Open unto me. I died for you," as Jesus said. "Open your heart. I knock at your heart's door. Let me in." You've never heard God speak to you. Maybe today, the Holy Spirit for the first time is making Mount Zion Baptist Church a special place because God's Spirit is speaking to you about your soul, about being saved because of Christ's work on Calvary and His death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, when God said to Jacob, "Arise and go to Bethel," Jacob knew what Bethel was. Jacob knew Bethel was the place that God dealt with me. Bethel was the place that God promised me. Bethel was the place that God spoke to me. Bethel was the place of peace and comfort and direction in my life. Bethel, oh Bethel, yes, I'll go back to Bethel. Dear Christian, was there a day when you were closer to God than you are today? Is there a day where He was sweeter than He is today? Remember that place in your life? If that's the case, then God is saying to you this morning, come back again. Arise. Go up to Bethel. For the prodigal, the thought of returning home was a great thought. I had it better there than I do right now. I'm picturing Jacob sitting in Shechem in his tent. biting his nails. They're going to capture me. They're going to kill me. They're going to take all my family. Anxious in Shechem. And then, while going through that, God said, arise. Go up to Bethel. Wonder if you're sitting. What's going to happen in my life? What's the next twist going to bring? Oh, only the worst can happen in this situation. Arise. Go up to Bethel. Wonder if you are here this morning and you're evaluating your life and you have more trouble, more distress, and less joy, and more disasters to deal with than when you sensed you were closer to God. And God says, arise and come back. Come back again to Bethel. Brethren, revival begins in a heart where God proclaims His Word and man chooses to instantly respond to what God says. That is revival. Coming back again is revival. God was not drawing Jacob back to Bethel to punish him. He was drawing Jacob back to Bethel because it was one of the greatest blessings in his life. Men's words, watch this. Men's words lead from Bethel to Shechem. But God's words lead from Shechem to Bethel. Wonder if you've been listening to a lot of men's words. You read the newspaper, you watch the news. You search online for fixes. All man's words. Where do man's words lead us? To Shechem. Faulty decisions and family disasters. Where do God's words lead? From Shechem to Bethel. Presence of God. Peace of God. Comfort of God. Protection of God. Direction from God. That's Bethel, my friend. That's what Jacob needed. In order to go to Bethel, you have to leave Shechem. Just remember, he had to leave Laban. Remember when he said, now arise and return. Jacob had to leave Laban. Now Jacob, in order to get to Bethel, is going to have to leave Shechem. You see, arising and going to Bethel always means leaving something behind. Leaving something behind in your life. They left God's behind. Jacob's an instant decision. The trail back is an instant decision. Look at verse number 2. Verse number 1, God speaks and God says, arise and go up to Bethel. What happens in verse number 2? Jacob says, in his tent, let me muse on it for a few days. Is that in the text? Oh no. You know what Jacob did? Hop, skippity, let's get to it. But there's some things that are going to have to happen in order for that to happen. He says, the Bible says in verse number 2, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Where's Jacob at this point? He's still in Shechem. But what's he doing? Oh, he's making preparations, man. He's cleaning house. He's packing up, so to speak. He's going to Bethel and he's taking everybody with him. He says, put away your gods. Though all God said was to arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar to God. God's invitation was met by an instant response. I wonder if it went like this. Arise and go up to Bethel, Jacob. Bethel. Bethel, the place that I promised God that He would be my God. Uh-oh. He's not my God right now. There was something that God said that awoke his conscience. Something was not right. Dear Christian, may I ask you an important question this morning? When was the last time that God wakened your conscience and said, there's something wrong? I'm not your God. When was that in your life? Because I'll tell you what, there are other things that get into our hearts as gods more often than we want to admit. And Jacob got before God and God said, arise and go to Bethel. And I believe that Jacob's conscience was awakened. I made a vow to God back then that he would be my God. Look at all the gods in my family's house. Then Jacob said, put away all your gods. We're going to Bethel. It was as though Jacob could not see his spiritual state until God intervened and spoke. Jacob had no answers for what he faced in life. He and his family were backslidden. They had slipped. They had gone back. Summer fruit begins to rot within long before it is seen on the outside surface. We would never think of letting in the lion into our souls, the devil, but we certainly let in the little foxes, the worldly friendships, the secular books, the infiltration of contemporary Christian music, the little fox of country music with all of its moral decay that we let go through our ear gate. We let in skipping church for a football game or a family outing. It's the little foxes, my friend, that set up shop and take over. Notice Jacob's first step was to put away the strange gods. The surrendering of idols is required before peace can be made with God in your life. May I say it again? The surrendering of idols is required before you can make peace with God in your life. Dear Christian, let me urge you to get down on your knees and search out idols. Ransack all the camel baggage, if you would. Bring out the accursed things and bury them. That's what Jacob did. I want you to see verse number 4 of Genesis 35. I'm almost done. They gave unto Jacob an amazing response by the family. They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Wise move. He left them at Shechem. He didn't carry them. He didn't say, put them in the back of the caravan so that we don't worship them. He left them. He buried them at Shechem. How wise it is for Jacob to bury those idols right away. If he had kept them or carried them, they might have been tempted to bring them out again. Burn the books that have polluted your mind. Burn them. Cut off the hand that's made you offend. Renounce the drink that has power over you. Ditch the alcohol in your life. Lest you be tempted to return to it again. Burn the idols. Bury them. Shut off the websites that have taken you down a path in the wrong direction. Get rid of the hobby that takes you away from church on Sunday. Bury it. Bury it. Jacob's initiative was to step out. It just took a Jacob. It just took one in the family to say, I will come back again. Just one. As I prayed over this message this week, I thought to myself, Lord, only one. It only takes one. To change the course of a whole family. It only took one. I want you to see something in this passage. Look at how the rest of his family followed. I, in verse number 3, I will make there an altar unto God. I, turned in verse number 4, to they. You see that? I, personal decision, led to they. I want you to see that in verse number 6, it turned to all. I turned to they, and they turned to all. Verse number 6 says this. It says, he and all the people that were with him went to Bethel. What happened, preacher? One man stepped out. God spoke to Jacob. Jacob said, yes, sir, God. It turned to they. Oh, there's a following. It turned to all. What happens when one Christian steps out and says, God, I'll put away it all. God, I'll exalt you to your rightful place. God, I will come back again. I'll rise and go up to Bethel. Folks, personal revival can lead to other people's revival. That's what we learn. The unanimous response from the family. My, not only did they give their gods, but they gave their earrings, which many times were used in the making of gods. We find in Hosea chapter 2 and verse number 13. It was time for Jacob to regain the ground that he had lost. What about you? Is it time for you to regain some ground that maybe you've lost? Some high places that have grown. The terror of God, last point here in the last minute. Verse number 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Two things here. Purity brings power. They got pure. And they saw the power of God in protecting them. Remember, these cities hated these people. His sons killed most of the men of that city. The Bible says, now the terror of the Lord fought off all of those cities so that no man pursued those boys. Number 2, submission brings safety. Submission brings safety. It's when they journeyed to Bethel that the terror of God came upon the Canaanites so that they did not attack Jacob and his family. Dear Christian, may I appeal to you this morning. You say, preacher, I just feel like I'm attacked on all sides. Listen, you better look for, make sure you're pure in your life, and you better refresh your submission to God. Both of those things took place. And when both of those things took place, God said, the Bible says, the Spirit of God wrote, the terror of God took over for Jacob and his family. Come back again. I don't know about you, in my life, I have had to come back many a times. Brethren, sometimes we think we only need to come back when we've really done something really, really bad. You know what? I can't trace anything really, really bad in Jacob's life here. In these 26 years, I can't trace it. Just that he forgot God. Just that some idols grew. Just that God saw it. And God said, Jacob, it's time to come back again. Dear Christian, I ask you, is it time in your life to come back again?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.